thoughts, or did anybody have any problems hearing anything? No? Okay, we'll move on to key number 3, which is tuning into spontaneity, which is recognize God's, so on page 10, recognizing God's voice as spontaneous thoughts which light upon your mind. So thoughts from my mind are analytical. Thoughts from my heart are spontaneous. Biblical meditation combines analysis and spontaneity. A lot of times when I read the Bible, I will, meditate on the word, but then I sometimes picture myself in the scripture. So, like the, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, sometimes I'll, you can put yourself into the situation and you can see the Lord, and then through that, it's like you're letting your imagination flow with the scripture that you're meditating on. And by doing that, God can break in at any time because you're moving into that spontaneous flow. And he can speak to you through more vision. He can speak to you through word, or, he might speak to you as well. But that's one of the ways that you move into that spontaneous side. Not all of our thoughts originate with us. It says, number one, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, you can read the scripture there. Intercession, the translation for intercession means to strike or light upon by chance or an accidental intersecting. So when we're interceding and praying, the Lord has the opportunity to intersect with our prayers. And that's where that spontaneity will come in. If we have those keys, we've quieted our soul and we're looking to him, that spontaneity will then flow, and then we'll be able to hear from the Lord, hear what he wants to say. On page 11, it says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'd ask everybody to put your hand on your heart and say after me, much of what is within me
is not me,
but the one whom I contain. So as we are quiet and we look to Jesus, our thoughts will interject into our hearts. And some of the characteristics of those thoughts that God gives us, I just want to highlight two of them. The first one is, they are like your own thoughts and musings, except that you sense them as coming from the heart and not the brain, so that they would be spontaneous and not analytical. So that's those, like I was explaining, that, you can put yourself into a vision, or you can be walking the beach and you're walking the beach with Jesus, and that is spontaneity, and that's where you will then find that flow, and the Lord will speak to you. You will get visions. You will hear from him. The other one is number 4. They will have an unusual content to them. So, you'd be imagining things and you're walking along the beach or the fields or whatever, wherever you're imagining things. And then the thought that will intersect is not something that you would normally think. And it will be wiser, more loving, and more motivated, motive-oriented than your own thoughts. So those are one ways that you can check to make sure that you are hearing from the voice of the Lord. That those are some of the things that you can read the rest of them, but it's a way of having a checklist to just judge what it is that God's giving you. So we're going to turn to page 14, and we're going to do another exercise. And in this journaling exercise, we'll just go for 4 minutes, and you can ask the Lord any one of these questions that are listed in this paragraph. Lord, do you love me? How do you see me? And what would you like to say to me? So just remember those 4 things. Quiet your soul, look to Jesus, tune into spontaneity, and then journal. Okay, go ahead. Okay, it's 5 minutes. Does anybody want to share what they wrote? Anybody? Gail, come on up and share. Or you can stand up. Do you want to stand? Okay. Okay.
I didn't have the fourth question, so I did the third question. What would you like to say to me? And what the Lord said was, depend more on me to avoid the enemy's traps.
I'm going to read mine. So this is what I got when I was at GSI. And the question I answered was, what would you like to say to me? And the Lord said, Rosemary, do not hold back. Cast your line into the deep, for I am there. You're about to witness a great outpouring. I am sending you. Do not worry about the details. I have them all covered. I have given you provision, courage, wisdom, understanding. You're about to see miracles at your own hands. Yes, the road you have been on has been difficult, but it has been necessary. You are now a brilliant diamond, and my light is shining in you. So, when we get those, one of the things that Dr. Berkler talks about is when we are journaling like this, when we get prophetic words like that, is to have a spiritual overseer so that we can submit these words to them. You know, when I journaled for those 4 or 5 years while I was traveling back and forth, I have like books and books and books of journals. But when I would get a specific prophetic word that wasn't necessarily for me, it was maybe for Mark or, you know, the kids or the family or the church, or I would submit them to Mark. You know, he was the one who would look at them and read them and judge them and say, yes, this is from God. You know, and God's always going to uplift us. He's always going to edify us, and he's going to heal us. And so those words that he gives us will fall into those categories, and they'll always line up with what's in the Bible. They'll always line up with what's in Scripture. So the fourth key, which is on page 27, and there's just one more exercise. Sorry, I guess you didn't think you were coming back to school, but is of course, journaling, writing your prayers and your answers and God's answers. And Mark Berkler also has a book that goes along with this. You can Google him, or I'm sure he's got his website that's on this book somewhere. While I was reading it, there's one paragraph that I thought was very interesting, and it kind of answers a question that I'm sure everybody has in regards to keeping a journal. And he said, I found that before I kept a journal, I would ask God a question, and as soon as an answer came to my mind, I would immediately question whether or not the idea was from God or from myself. In doing so, I short-circuited the intuitive flow of the Holy Spirit by subjecting it to rational skepticism. The flow of God was arrested by doubt. He that comes to God must come in faith, which is Hebrews 6:11. I would receive one idea from God and doubt that it was from Him, and therefore receive no more. Now by writing it down, I can receive whole pages in faith, knowing I will have ample time to test it later. Keeping a journal greatly facilitates the flow of rhema into your heart. Rhema, which is the spoken word of the Lord. So, like I said, I've got many, many journals I've done over the years. I go back to them often. And I read them, and a lot of the prayers that I've prayed have come to pass, and some have still not yet come to pass. And a lot of the prophetic words that, you know, God has given me, or visions that He's given me, have come to pass, and some haven't. But it's a place where I can go back, and it inspires my soul, inspires my heart to read them again, to see what God was doing back then. and where I am now, and how they apply to, they still apply back then as they apply now. So the last journaling exercise that you'll have is on page 26, and it says, you can ask the following questions, and you can pick one of the questions. Lord, how important is it to use the eyes of my heart? How have I been using them, and how would you have me use them? And so you can picture yourself with Jesus, give yourself that vision, and remember to quiet your soul, look to Jesus, tune into spontaneity, and then go ahead and write. Okay, it's been 6 minutes. If there's anybody who'd like to share what they got, be brave. Okay.
I just have to say is that once you quiet your soul down and your vision of your heart has been set on Jesus, those spontaneous, as you tune into the spontaneous thoughts, those thoughts are God speaking. Does everybody understand that? Can you give me an amen? Do you understand? Yeah. So once you focus on Jesus, those, and you turn your heart, and you picture yourself on the boat with them in that raging sea, whatever you picture in your mind, in your heart, imagination is good in the Holy Spirit. So when you fix your eyes upon Christ, as soon as those spontaneous thoughts start coming, as it says here in the book, start writing those down in faith, because those are the words of God. That's God speaking to you. And then as you journal, keep journaling them, and then you'll end up with a word for yourself. And so here's what the Lord gave me. He said, Lord, how important it is to use the eyes of my heart. How have I been using them? How would you have me use them? That was the question I asked of the Lord. How would you have me use the eyes of my heart? This is what God said to me. So it came, once I focused on Jesus, the first thought that I got was my son. That's all I got. And so I wrote down my son, and then came the third thought. The third word. And so this is what he spoke in general. He gave me. He said, my son, your eyes are the gateway to your soul. I am giving and filling this gateway with greater levels of glorious compassion. Compassion that sees beyond the mountains of shame, guilt, and despair, unlove, and brokenness of the souls I am bringing to you. Compassion-filled eyes, new eyes I have given you to see and to call forth truth from the valleys my people traverse in. Compassionate eyes, my son, that will cry for those who can't. Compassion, my son, I have filled you with. Use your new eyes, for your eyes will now see as I see, beyond the mountains and the valleys, and in so doing, you will call forth those things that are not. That's what God gave me. So remember, it's so important in hearing the voice of God. Once we quiet our soul, get in that place, fix our eyes on Jesus, and in fixing our eyes on Jesus, those impressions or those thoughts, that's why it says in Scripture to bring every thought into captivity of Christ Jesus our Lord. But once you position yourself and you fix your eyes, those spontaneous thoughts that come, that's the voice of God. That's God speaking to you. And then when you write it down, you'll end up with a whole book full of prophetic words. And as you tune in, it's just like going to the gym. As you start exercising this on a regular basis, then you'll be able to stand up, quiet yourself down, focus your eyes on Jesus, and give a prophetic word. Because you'll be hearing the voice of God in those spontaneous thoughts, those words. You reach out in faith, step on that first word that the Holy Spirit gives you, and then the next thing you know, you'll have two or three sentences after it, and you've just given a prophetic word that will bring encouragement, help, comfort to whoever you're speaking to. Does everybody understand? Yeah? Has everybody got it? Okay.
Does anybody have any questions? Oh.
Mark is really fluid and poetic in mountains and dreams and hills, people. I got rebuked, actually. As a prophetic person, what happens with me, the context of my footstool time is in worship. Mm-hmm. And but as God begins to speak things to me, unfortunately, I'm both left brain and right brain. But it's my left brain that gets me in trouble, because my right brain will start to function, because God speaks to me in vision and words and scrolls and stuff. And then I'll get to a word, and then I try to figure out what's coming next. And so that's when my left brain, like, stops everything. And what the Lord said, stop contemplating your thoughts. And when then he said, I'm going to show you something. I said, well, I don't know what you mean, Lord. And so he began to give me a vision, a prophetic vision. This has been a really strong prophetic day. And he gave me some words, and I stopped. And then it stopped. And then I tried to figure out what was going to come next that would fit. Because all I got was, I said, the Lord said, I'm throwing a red stick. I thought, okay. All right, what's going to come with throwing a red stick? And then my left brain got in and stopped. And then I said, you know what? The Lord said, Dad, why don't you just start speaking in tongues, praising me, and don't write anything until you hear me talk again, until the river flows. That's really hard when you've been controlling things with the left side for 61 years. But I just learned that was a really powerful thing, because in the prophetic stuff, sometimes I get really frustrated and I waste time trying to figure out what's coming next. And what you at that point, you just shut down. I don't care if it sounds like you're halting in speech. You just shut down, start worshiping God, and it'll come again. But the Lord said, don't write down or say more than you hear or less than you hear. And that was fun. That was cool. Thank you, Professor.
You're welcome. Thank you all for coming. And I'm only 5 minutes over.
Yeah, I want to pray for everybody real quick. Yeah. I know. Sorry, Luke. Okay. All right. Everybody stand up, raise their hand to God. Raise your hearts to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for revelation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always speaking to us. And as we go forth from this place, I release in the name of Jesus prophetic vision, prophetic words, Lord, that we will commit our times to being still before you. And Lord, that we'll cast our eyes upon you. And in those spontaneous thoughts, what will be released will be healing, vision, and new direction, and release of destiny in all our lives. So I impart to everybody here tonight that grace to be still, to focus our eyes on you, and in so doing, we will know and be able to communicate your great love and your words that you have for your church. And so I bless everybody in this regard and say yes and amen according to the mighty name of Jesus. As it has been spoken, so it is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
we'll hire. Thank you all for coming out this evening. I'd ask that you'd all put your hands on your heart, and I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Holy Spirit, come and minister to me. Change me. I am willing to be changed. I am willing to learn new things. I'm willing to lay aside old things. I choose to hear your voice. I can hear your voice. You said my sheep hear your voice. I am your sheep. I hear your voice. And I will do it this day. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the instructors that taught this was one of our instructors at GSSM when we were there in June. His name is Dr. Mark Verkler. I really liked what he had to say because this is how I hear from the voice of God. And so he's been teaching this for about 30 years. And I just want to tell you a little bit how I learned to walk and listen to the voice of God. When I went back working full-time, I was working in Toronto, and I had a commute of about an hour and a half one way into Toronto and back. And it was when Mark was pastoring a church, just started a church in Hamilton. And of course, going back to work full-time, I was always a freelance bookkeeper, so I was always working, but full-time work was not exactly in my game plan. And so when I first started working in Toronto, I was really not very happy with God. In fact, I was pretty angry for about the first 6 months, and it was a very unproductive time sitting on that train for so long, and I finally realized that being angry and upset and disappointed wasn't doing me or my family any good. So I decided to bring my Bible and buy a journal, and I started journaling. And at first, you know, I would read the morning, do the morning office, do the morning prayer, read the scriptures. And after a couple of weeks, and I would write my prayers out. I would write all my prayers and my requests and petitions. And of course, it was, please don't let me work down in Toronto anymore. I don't want to work here anymore. Anyway, and then it turned to, you know, other things, because of course, you know, we had planted a church and we had other needs that we needed to pray about. And so as I started praying, though, I would read the scriptures, and then all of a sudden I would get visions, and I would get, like, words of knowledge, and I would get prophetic words, and I would write these things down. And I would keep this journal, and I'd refer to this journal, and I was actually, after about 3 or 4 months of journaling, I was actually happy to be working in Toronto because I had time with the Lord. I was able to spend that time that, you know, when you're busy and you're at home and you're doing all the things that you're doing as a mom, you don't always find that hour and a half time to actually sit down and spend time with the Lord. So it was a real training ground for me to really hear what the Lord was saying in my life, and for, you know, praying for our church, my husband, my family, and our friends, and things that were going on in our city. So it was a good time between the Lord and I. So if you want to turn to page 2, we're just going to skim through this booklet. I don't, you know, we're not going to hit every page. It's just going to be a taste of what highlights from this book. And when Mark Verkler, when God first started revealing this to him, he he was in bed, and God called him out of bed, said, "Go to your office. I want to speak to you." And so what he gave him was, the scripture was from Habakkuk 2:1-3. If you have it in your, if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to that. It says, "I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. for it will certainly come. It will not delay. So in him getting this scripture, he realized God was speaking to him four keys in how to hear his voice. The first one he references from Habakkuk, I will stand at my guard post. So that is quieting yourself down. And he did these hand motions. So this is what Mark Berkler did. So he's quiet yourself down. Key number two is I will keep watch and see, which is fixing your eyes on Jesus. Tuning into spontaneity, which is what he will speak to me. And the fourth key is the Lord said, record the vision. And that's the fourth key is writing or journaling. So, you want everybody to practice that? Okay, so we'll practice that. So key number one, everyone, is quieting yourself down, tuning into Jesus or fixing your eyes on Jesus, tuning into spontaneity, and writing or journaling. Now, here in the Western world, we tend to be more left side of the brain, left brain rather than right brain. We are more analytical rather than the right brain being intuitive or visionary. And while we have both, we tend to process information through one side or the other. And in the Bible, we have examples of where, you know, there's Luke, an example of someone who was left side of the brain. He was a physician. And Luke 1:1-4, he's speaking to Theophilus, and his teaching is he studied things carefully, and then he wrote things out in consecutive order. He allowed the Holy Spirit's intuitive, spontaneous expression to flow into his reasoning process through his heart. So that's one way, one example of God speaking through a left, someone who processes things through the left side of your brain. John, on the other hand, was a visionary. He saw things, he was right side of the brain, visionary. And in Revelation, he wrote, in Revelation 1:10-11, he wrote, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice saying, write in a book what you see. So the revelation process with John, the only left side of the brain was actually writing. Everything else was right side of the brain, visionary. And an example, Mark and I, we hear very differently from God. Mark is left side of the brain. He sees and hears in impressions. I'm right side of the brain. I see visions. I see things. So when we minister together, you know, sometimes Mark will say, he'll be praying for someone and he'll ask me what I'm seeing, because I usually see in vision rather than in impression. Another example is Mark and I are looking for a house right now, and Mark will walk into the house and he will assess it on how much it will cost to maintain the house, how much we have to repair the house or renovate the house. And so that's really left side of the brain thinking. And I walk into the house and I envision my friends, my family, what we'll do in the house, how the house will flow. So it's just two ways of thinking, two ways of processing information. Neither way is better than the other. It's just two different ways that your brain functions. So the first key is key number one, and we're going to move to page 16. And as I was going through this, I realized that a charismatic probably proofread this book. So ignore key number two. It's really key number one. The first key is... That's right. Someone with the right side of the brain. The first key is quieting yourself down so you can hear God's voice. And in many places in the Bible, we see in the Psalms where David writes, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 62:1, he says, my soul silently waits for God. And Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So it's really important, the bishop speaks about it often, that we need to find our footstool time. We need to find that secret place where we can be alone with God, And that can be in any form. I mean, when I was in training, it was on the train going to Toronto, and it was quiet. Some people like to have music playing. That helps in the whole, it causes your right side of your brain to start functioning. And you start seeing things. And if you pray in tongues, that's another way of hearing from the Lord. You start praying in tongues. These are all ways that, you know, you can quiet yourself down and find that secret place and place where you can actually hear God. You know, in the Bible, there's lots of examples. Elijah, he was in the cave where he found a quiet place. Daniel was always finding a quiet place to go off and pray. And Jesus also, you know, many times he would go off in prayer to find that quiet time to speak and hear from the Father's heart. So the goal isn't to be still, but the goal is to become still in mind and body so that our heart can know and sense God moving within. His promptings are gentle, and until my own inner and outer raging is quieted, I will not sense his inner movings. So then we're going to move on to key number 2, which is on page 19. Key number 2.